Hello everyone, welcome. Today on the podcast, I have Jade Mars. You may remember her mother, Rainbow Mars, from the last episode, giving us some health tips. Jade is an old soul teenager who became a certified yoga teacher, traveled all over the world, and has gone through some real life hardships all before her 16th birthday. And all of these things have made her such a special and wise woman. We talked about travel and high school and parent relationships and more. Enjoy.
Take an ohm again?
Yeah, let's take an ohm. Okay. We're just like, everywhere we go, we're like, let's just take an ohm.
We'll just take one more ohm.
Just one quick ohm.
Let's just take five more ohms.
Another ohm, shall we?
How about right now? An ohm. Okay.
This whole podcast is just, you're just going to hear like, and It is ASMR. It's yogi ASMR.
Okay.
We are here recording the first Metamoon podcast interview with Jade Mars.
Hello.
And we are recording this laying down, legs up the wall. Like,
this is a yoga pose.
The way that I want to live my whole life. Everything should happen in this posture.
That's true.
All of our laughs are going to sound like really good belly laughs. So, yeah, we just finished recording the Play-Doh explanations video that you can find on YouTube. And now we're going to go into a deeper conversation with Jade Mars. Jade is going to tell us about her life story in a little bit. But just to give you an idea of who we're speaking with, Jade is one of the most wise, inspired teenagers I've ever known in my life. I've known her since she was 9, and I started nannying her when I first moved to LA, and our relationship just kind of grew and evolved, and we're like sisters. We spend a lot of time together and are very connected, and I just felt that she has a lot of wisdom to share with the world, and seeing the world through her eyes and her perspective as, you know, living life as a young kid, but with all the knowledge and experience that she has, it's just a really unique perspective. And I think it's very valuable as a listener, if you're a teenager, to kind of hear what her experiences are. Maybe you can find something you can relate to, or even as an adult, there's something that we can all learn from Jade. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Yeah. On the floor.
Anything that you want to add about yourself before we dig into it?
I think that was perfect.
Amazing.
It's good.
Okay, cool. So we're here in Jade's house in Venice and laying on the ground, and we're going to dig into it. So we're just going to start with some kind of rapid fire warm up questions to help you guys get to know her a little bit and kind of get into the flow of things. So are you ready, Jade?
I'm ready.
Okay. So when people think of Jade Mars, what do they think of?
Hippie.
I agree with that. What was that sound? What is one thing people don't know about you?
My first name is Kiara. My middle name is Jade Destiny. So Kiara, Jade Destiny. Birth name Kiara, but my name is Jade. I go by Jade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's something that maybe people who know you well would know, but if somebody's just meeting you, what would they be surprised to find out?
I have 3 yoga certifications. I got certified as a yoga teacher when I was 8 years old.
8 years old, yoga
but
teacher.
But I've never really done it as a profession.
You didn't teach any classes when you were 8?
A little bit, sometimes. Like an 8-year-old some kids, my
yoga
friends.
Teacher. I wish we had a video of that. So, like,
I mean, there's probably
8-year-old
is.
Jade Mars, like, teaching a bunch of adults yoga.
I'll find
just
it, yeah.
Need that to be a TV show.
It will be. It totally will be.
Awesome. What's something that people usually assume about you that's wrong?
That I'm a stoner.
why do you think people think that?
It's totally an affair assumption. It's totally a fair assumption. Just like my vibe is very like chill and stonery, but, and I know what that's, I have been, so I get it, but, no, yeah, I think it's also a common thing for just, like, the hippie teenage vibe to be stoner, which doesn't have to be true. I also live in Venice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
My surf.
The guru outfit. I can see it.
Yeah.
What if you could only eat at one restaurant for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Currently my favorite restaurant is Thai Vegan. It is literally amazing. Thai food's like some of my favorite food. So Thai Vegan, yeah.
And you're a vegan?
I am vegan, yeah.
How long have you been vegan?
I've been on and off my entire life. I was raised vegan. And then started eating meat. It's never been in my house, so I would only eat it, like, outside. So I've always been, like, 70% vegan. But fully these past 2 years.
I do remember when you were little, like, making you chicken nuggets for your lunches all the time. Do you remember that?
Oh, my God.
I found some chicken nuggets in the freezer the other day, and I was like, these have probably been here for, like, 6 years. Like, no one has eaten chicken nuggets since we were a tiny top.
I don't remember the last time I ate chicken nuggets. That's crazy. So yeah. Maybe some, like, so there was beyond meat chicken nuggets.
They were highly organic, grass-fed chicken nuggets for anybody concerned about that.
Yeah, no, not anymore.
Amazing. What's the best book you read this past year?
Best book I've read this past year. So many good books. I have two. The Alchemist really supported me and, like, guided me through, like, a journey in my life, because I read it during the summer and it was a very transitional, and I feel like I just learned a lot about, like, following the heart, and that book is a masterpiece. And then I also read my all-time favorite book now. It's called Child of Fortune. It's by Norman Spinrad, and it is a psychedelic masterpiece. It's really out there, but it has so much wisdom, and it's absolutely amazing.
It's like a fictional story.
It is a fictional story, but I'm sure in some dimension it's real.
Amazing. It's like, it would tell us a little bit about the plot of it.
So basically the author, he wrote it after an 105 degree fever, so really just in an experience.
It's just like a fever vision.
He just got transported and then, like, came back and wrote the story. And it's basically in the future, like, way in the future. And that's what makes it interesting, is that it's almost like it feels like a possibility of where we could go, which I hope this is our reality. But we've basically inhabited, like, all these different planets, and our technology is so evolved where you can, like, just travel to different planets. And it follows this 18-year-old girl who goes on this journey of, like, self-discovery and traveling to different planets, and like her will and her adventure and her, like, love and dream and just discovering herself fully is, I think, so amazing. And then it goes into even more out there and interesting things that you just really have to read to understand.
It sounds awesome. I still need to read it since you told me about it.
You can borrow my copy.
Okay. That's amazing. What's been one of the most impactful moments of your life thus far?
Oh my God. Every single day, every moment. I think, let me think about it for a second. Going to India, my second time, was one of, like, the most beautiful travels, journeys I've ever taken. I was really at a place where I think I appreciated it the most. And I've been before, but I was still in high school, and then my mom took me on this trip, like, mid high school, and I was talking about, like, homeschool and just, like, this kind of new chapter of my life, like, where I was gonna take it. And then I was at this Tibetan monastery with these, like, teenage monks with, like, just the most compassion and humility and generosity and, like, light, and seeing, like, just, like, that difference, I guess, of, like, states in a way, and then the way of life of these kids, and how the lesson of just, like, how can I be the most like that every moment, and how in my life externally as well as internally, like, can I transform for that. So I think that was a huge part of my, like, most of my journey, like, to now.
Yeah.
It was very impactful.
I think traveling is so important for all people to just see the way different humans live in different perspectives, but especially to get that experience when you're young and to be around young monks that are your Not age really. Or younger
it's
and
crazy
in just such a different life. That's such a cool experience.
I've learned the most in life ever traveling than anywhere, like than doing anything else really. Cause it's just learning and experiencing this world that we like live in is just so surreal. And these little monks have more knowledge than most adults that I speak to, most teachers that, you know, we have in schools, because of just like their own age is not really a real thing in the level of work and like level that they're meditating at. So traveling is crazy important. Yeah,
I know there's probably so many, but what's one of the things when you're traveling that you can think of that was a big realization or a life shift in your perspective that you gained?
I mean, oh gosh, can I say like two? I'm gonna say two.
Yes, say two.
Two, I think, would be that there's no normal, like there's no average or like universal normality. There really isn't. Like there's not one thing that we can all agree on. There's not one thing that everyone does. There's not one way of being that is like it. And that is so freeing and amazing to know, because we're raised and constructed with like being normal and like fit in to like what's normal, what is acceptable. When in reality you travel and you see the thousands of cultures and practices and religions and people and shapes, sizes, personalities, where none of us are the same. Nobody's the same. Not even in the same group of people raised the same way, but let alone in the same different countries or different spaces of life. And that's amazing.
Yeah.
That is like, I don't know. So that just freed me, I feel like, from a lot of the constructs that I felt I had to fit into. And then also just a lot of humility and gratitude, because
yes.
Going, I think a really fun example is India or Egypt or Indonesia, where the people, for a majority of the people, do not have as much as we are blessed to have, and most people are like in the States are blessed to have, because of just like the politics. But they are some of the most happy and full of love and light people that I've ever met.
Yeah,
especially, you know, in Indonesia, I like, everyone is smiling all the time. And then, you know, we walk in the States, we have all our things and we're so, you know, fulfilled materialistically and we're not happy.
Yeah.
So what is that lesson, you know?
It truly seems like the more you have, the harder it is to have gratitude.
It's so weird.
The more you want. It's just a weird law of nature where it's like, the more you're privileged, the more you have, the more you just feel unfulfilled. Like you're focused on what you don't have. And there's just such a peace to when you're in an environment like that where people have so little. And when you're experiencing that and it's not what you're used to, it truly is incredibly humbling.
And it also changes the whole perspective on like, what does it mean to have? Like, what is even having, you know, like is having, you know, money or things, or it's like having like your well inside filled, like, you know, having your like family or, you know, just that, like the temporary or that is forever.
Yeah.
Everything else is temporary.
And I think people that have less understand more that we don't really have anything.
Yeah, totally.
It's all kind of on loan to us. And the more you think you have, the more you acquire in a material way, you have fear of losing it.
Fear.
And so that fear builds because you become attached. And when you don't have as much, you have more of an understanding of the fact that all is temporary and you don't have as many attachments. And I mean, the Buddha say that attachment is the root of all suffering. So if you have more, you're more attached and you suffer more. So it makes sense in that
way. Totally.
Absolutely. It's crazy. It's like such a good lesson. Yeah. How many countries have you been to?
I would say 15 to 20, but I can't count them all.
That's amazing.
But yeah, super blessed too. I've been to a lot, especially at like super young too. Mm-hmm. I went to Egypt when I was like in seventh grade and I totally didn't even realize how crazy and awesome that was. I was just like, oh, okay. Today, that's where what I'm doing. And uh-huh. But now, yeah, it's just amazing and more to come, you know. I want to go everywhere.
Wow.
Inside and outside.
That's awesome. So tell us the story of Jade Mars as if it's a fairy tale. Give us this third fairy person? Tale version. Sure.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was a woman in the 1960s called Brigitte Mars. She was a rebel, hippie, revolutionist, plant activist, free spirit, truly, and brilliant. And she later, in about the 1970s, 80s, in a teepee, under a double rainbow, had my mom, Rainbow Mars, synchronicity, right? And from then, you know, raised my mom, and my mom came to be another free spirit, wild, creative, amazing, truth-seeking woman who later, in the Caribbean, underwater, gave birth to Jade Mars. and later, Jade's parents split up a little after, like, her being brought into this world, and she moved to LA with her mom and grew up in LA and was surrounded by beautiful people at all times and learned and was able to, you know, learn, just like always be surrounded by yoga and meditation and love and support in that sense. But also it was you know, it was a single mom, and that was an interesting situation, not always feeling super secure and supported and, I guess, safe in a sense, feeling a little bit like I had to be very mature at a very young age and, like, support a lot of people around me, which was me, her, whatever, both the same, which was an interesting experience, but also a blessing because I learned so much. She went to middle school. She went to primary at a school called Garden of Angels, yes. Which was amazing and really discovered her like artistic passion and calling and love for art and expression and emotion. And later went to middle school, realized she didn't like institutions or that much structure when it wasn't what she, you know, was like her soul was happy doing. Realized she was a little bit different like everyone else, but didn't quite fit in ever. Went to, I guess, or traveled a lot, went to a lot of places, learned many things, started looking within and trying to figure out what the heck was going on in this life, why, what, how, when, where, all the W's, you know. graduated middle school. My parents, my mom and my stepdad got married a little bit before that, so we moved up like to a different area. And that was a huge transition. Love him. And, went to high school at a very preppy, uniform, structured, normal, privileged, college preparatory school. And that's what I wanted. I wanted structure. I wanted normality, for some reason. And that was cool for a while. It did give me a sense of, you know, something that I felt that I was missing and realized that I didn't actually need. I did learn a lot there. I took art classes and met, you know, really cool people that I realized, you know, in between, especially on that trip to India, that it was just not my path. And I thank God had the opportunity and freedom to like have the conversation with my parents, who my mom always was like, you don't need to go to school. She was always that parent. You never need to go to school. You know, wake me up in the morning and be like, hey, you want to like do yoga instead, you know, which, you know, always made me kind of rebel from that. But I realized that I was kind of sick of running away from who I was, you know. I think like a lot of kids like feel they need to rebel from their parents because their parents are trying to fit them into someone they aren't. But for me, it was like I was running away from who I was. Like it was my, it's like is my truth. And so at a certain point, it's just like being cool with that, like just like accepting yourself. And like, so I had this conversation with my parents who were open to me doing homeschool. And that summer, you know, we traveled and experienced things and it was awesome and I learned a lot. And I realized that that was really like where I needed to be, was not in like a factory type school anymore. And started doing homeschool. It's been amazing. I've never been happier. I've met the coolest people ever and learned the most and discovered myself the most and created the most and been the most confident and in my truth ever. Parents got divorced. Weird. Foundation pulled from under me. That was interesting. Now I live in between Venice and Mulholland. You know, I'm in my third yoga teacher training, in the middle, about to be, you know, a third time certified yoga teacher, and really excited for where life is going to take me. I plan on graduating high school next year and, you know, living life, continuing to learn always. And I think that's good.
Yeah. Make sure you're talking to here.
Oh, sorry. Oh, did you hear me?
Awesome. So that's a beautiful story. So I have some questions more in depth about some of those things. I want to talk a little bit about your parents and experiences. Okay. It's a good phase. So tell us a little bit about your mom and kind of what it's been like being the daughter of Rainbow Mars.
How I answer this always is just like never a dull moment. Truly, I'm never bored. I'm an only child, so me and my mom are like best friends. Like we've always been best friends, which has been unhealthy. And, like, is kind of, because sometimes the line between mother-daughter can get a little confused and then can get flipped. But we've always been very close. We've always been super honest and, like, just out there with each other. Sometimes my mom more than me, I guess. But, honest, it's a blessing overall. She's so brilliant. And kind of crazy in the best way, like, because we all are crazy, but she's just, I think, really honest and really never is going to close herself down, which I've learned, like, so much from, because although I don't really have the ability to be, like, I guess as open as she is, I'm, like, I'm still pretty open, but I've learned that, you know, like being confident and honest and open is always going to be better than like being shut down.
Yeah.
Being wild and being free. She really feels things. She really just like lets herself feel, which I think is good. And I've learned from. She can also be, you know, a lot and all over the place, and so can I, and we can both, and we, our energies are so connected that sometimes it gets confused who's feeling what and what comes from where. So that's interesting. You know, she has a lot of, she's like really a nature person and very grounded, then I can also be very up in the air. So learning, she's really taught me to not take anything seriously, to be lighthearted, to come from love always, to practice like my communication. And I think, you know, we're both always working on that. I think mothers and daughters, it's like the most complicated communication relationship, especially. And to follow my heart, she's always supported me in following my heart. Like never a doubt, really. Whatever I want to do, she's like there. So it's crazy. It is crazy and fun and a blessing and, you know, a lot.
What advice would you give daughters who have complicated relationships with their mothers?
Remain as peaceful as you possibly can. I think that's hard, but Wait, pause, scratch back, cut that out. Don't be like attached all the time, because I think that we're, you know, mothers, daughters are so connected. Obviously it's, it makes sense why, but we can often get really attached to, you know, being right or being, you know, making, being good all the time or being, having the last word or being heard even. We can even be attached to like being understood, which I think is important, but we also just sometimes, I read this thing, it was like, sometimes we apologize not because we're wrong or like not because we're, but because we value the relationship more than our ego. And I, that really spoke to me at that point when I was reading it, because like, it doesn't really, ultimately everything that we, is happening is temporary, especially with like fights or anything like that. It's like the next day, the next week, it's not going to even be a thing, especially if you, I guess, communicate with it, right? So overall, just have as much love as you possibly can and do your own work, you know, like do your own thing. If your mom is not meditating and like seeing where she could, you know, support and help the situation more, then you do that, you know, do your best, because that's all temporary and everything's gonna be okay in the end, you know?
Yeah. I think we have to have compassion for remembering that our mothers are humans too.
Totally.
And sometimes there's this expectation that like, being a mother, you should have everything figured out and, you know, be perfect and totally focus on your child. But we have to remember that these are people that are still growing and learning and figuring things out, and they have weaknesses and make mistakes. And, you know, it's, I think I didn't really realize that until I was older. I think when I was a teenager, I just kind of had this assumption that my parents existed for me and that they needed if their parents like they should have that. They should have all the answers, they should know everything, and that's just not the case. And you know, having a child is one of the most selfless things you can do in this life, and it's one of the most difficult things, and motherhood is just such a crazy experience. I mean, I haven't gone through it yet, but I can only
imagine, right?
So I think sometimes it's just like having compassion for that. That's like, where is this person coming from? You know, like what traumas have they experienced in their life that they haven't worked out
so
yet?
True. If we think that we're going through stuff, like of course they're going through stuff all the time.
Totally. So I mean, I think that's the case with all relationships, is like remembering these are human beings that we're dealing with that all have a perspective and experiences and things that they're going through.
And it's like never really about us too.
Yeah.
It's like really,
it's never.
Every time I feel like I get into a thing with someone, it's like either not about me or it's not about them. Like when it's coming from me, I'm like, I'm going through my own thing. It's totally. Yeah. So just having, you know, truly an understanding and like love for everyone and no expectations as to where people are supposed to be at. Like I want my mom to feel like she can, you know, be a kid and like experience that and be free and young. And then I also, you know, would like her to be the parent, which she can, but you know, just having love for where everyone's at.
So having been through a couple of separations. Tell us about some things that have helped you get through that and kind of your advice to anybody who may be listening who's kind of going through their parents separating. What would you tell them?
It's so deep. I think for me, I definitely had some like trauma experience, things that I already had to go through from a very long young age growing up. Just because the, I guess, the like conflict between my biological mother and father started like just kept going until mm-hmm. I finally was like, I made my own boundary. That's when I really had to start learning about boundaries and like respecting myself, was like, I just can't deal anymore. Like, this is really messing up everything. And so I actually decided to take space from my biological father completely, which was a really healthy decision. And it's been a really long time since that's happened. So who knows what I will decide to do for myself in the future. But as far as I think the more common situation, which is, you know, divorce with your parents who you have known together for a while and are used to that, and that is your normal, is to A, let yourself feel and don't suppress your emotions. Don't try to take care of everyone else and make sure everyone else is okay before you are, because they're adults and they can figure out their own stuff. I know I have a really interesting habit of being way too empathic and just taking on everyone else's stuff and being like, oh my God, like, I'm so sorry that, you know, like, I just want to help everyone, which is not, it's a blessing and a curse, I think. And, so let yourself feel things. Don't dwell in your anger, your sadness. Don't like get stuck in it and think that is who you are, because it's not. It's just a process. But do let yourself meditate through, like, you know, feel. I think that for me, like, I can get down on myself when I feel emotions because of like my spiritual practice. It's like, I should just be happy all the time, no matter what's going on in my life. And that's not truth. It's not truth. It really goes against the fact that we are human, whether we like it or not. Second, I would think, is just learning about unattachment. This process has been the biggest unattachment lesson of my entire life, not on like a level of learning about love and unattachment, and how even when it can come from a place of like, I love being attached to your love, I love being attached to this, you know, comfort, it's still not real. Even the people and relationships we make in our life are not forever. You know, change is the only constant. So for me, learning about the fact that if two people need to listen to their hearts to be happy, and that means not being in a relationship anymore, that's okay. Because as I was saying, and like how I was reading The Alchemist, if your heart is talking to you and you don't listen, it will stop. Like, it will stop speaking its truth, and then you're stuck and you're numb. And so really actually appreciating their courage to like do that for themselves. Yeah. Instead of being like, oh, you do this to me, it's not about me. We're all on our own journey, you know? So yeah, not just being unattached and learning about myself and learning about love in that aspect of an attachment and listening to your own heart.
That's good. You've handled everything so well, and I know it's been a hard time for everybody, and yeah, it's a big lesson I think a lot of people go through, and I think it's just important to have people around you that you can feel supported by, and yeah, not take it all on your own shoulders, and
yeah,
let your parents do what they need to do for themselves and make sure you're taking care of yourself. And
totally.
Yeah. I'm like falling off my pillow.
That yoga pose is called soft fish.
Okay, that's better. Okay, so Let's talk a little bit about kind of what we talked about on the Plato video about school.
Yeah.
What do you think, why do you think school is so hard for some people?
It's very simple and very complex, like everything else. I think on like a more overall level, it goes in with our very weird construct of life that I have problems with in every which way and have tried and have like had to break down, is that, you know, we grow up till a certain age. You have this like period where, you know, you're free and you play and you don't have anything to worry about. And then you go to school and you, you know, you're there for 7 to 8 hours a day. And then you go home and you do homework and then you wake up and you go through the cycle. So you're working. You're already just in this like cycle of this construct where at this institute, you are expected to have the exact same brain as everyone else, talk like everyone else, dress like everyone else, speak like everyone else, feel like everyone else. And then, you know, if you don't, you're wrong. If you don't, you're not smart. If you don't, you're not good enough. And then there's no time to even really figure out what you want to do because you have to do everything the best. You have to do everything awesome. Even you're not allowed to like actually deepen what you like or really study what you love. Or even I'm a person who loves learning so much, and I always felt like I wasn't learning. And like, isn't that so weird? Like in out of school, like I was learning on a very, you know, I guess factory almost based way, where like I was getting my brain to where it was supposed to be for everyone else. But, like, I wasn't learning about what I cared about.
Like, memorizing and regurgitating. Memorizing,
test, and then, like, a month later, forget everything that you did. And so I've actually learned from traveling and talking to brilliant people and, like, experiencing experiences. And as much as school is important, the way that we're doing school is crazy.
Yeah.
And goes against, like, our souls, I feel like.
Well, it's, you're the like, kind of person locks that, you. Like, that has a hard time learning something if you don't know why you need to be learning it or you don't see how it's applicable. So I feel like that was always really hard for you in school when teachers just like, do this because I said so and learn this because you have to, you know?
Totally.
I think a lot of kids don't respond well to that.
Yeah.
Don't learn well without understanding like the purpose of why they should be learning what they're learning. And a lot of the stuff that is being taught in schools is not current with the way that the world is changing. So it's not like we live in an era where everyone carries around a computer in their pocket and you can look up anything or
anything.
Like there's a calculator in your pocket
you want to
at all times. And so, but we're not learning like much about our emotional health or our mental health. We're not learning about business really, or like actual finances and how to do that. Even in college, I graduated college and still didn't understand my own personal finances.
Exactly. Really.
And so like the things that are like, you need to know to be successful in life, to actually, and the way the industries are changing, you know, it's like, we live in the age of entrepreneurship, like creating your own business, your own way. There's so many different types of jobs and types of monetizing. And it's not just like, go to school, get good grades, be a doctor, you know?
Oh my God.
Like,
totally.
But that's kind of still how the system is set up.
Yeah. And
to be.
If you want to like do that, that's sick. Like, do that. But the fact that we're all expected to want to do the same thing of some sort,
yeah,
is crazy. And that we're all basically learning to do like robotic jobs when we're getting to a space where robots can do the robot jobs and humans can like, yeah, do whatever we want. Really.
I actually read somewhere
like utopian society
that with like the development of AI, the safest jobs right now are creative jobs.
I know,
because robots can't do that well. So writers and, well, even though apparently some AIs have written some really good scripts. Apparently.
That's horrifying.
But
that's really
writers,
scary.
Musicians singing, like who wants to hear a robot sing? So it's like those jobs that are actually going to be the safest now because everything else is being automated. The scary future of robots.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. I know like like, yeah, and you even deeper school, and then you do more school, and then you get like a little second of like, you know, do your life, and then settle down, work every single day until you die. And that's just like, who is the manager of life? You feel me? Like, can I speak to them? Like, can we have an in-depth conversation of like, who made the rules of like, that makes sense? Because it makes no sense to me. Mm-hmm. We're here for like a long and short time, you know, on a depth, we're here forever, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's eternal, or we have no idea. We have really no idea. And so do whatever you want. If I, like, why would I spend a moment or day doing what I do not want to do? Yeah. Structure is important. Learning is important. And in the way that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. Why am I doing something that doesn't make me happy? It doesn't make sense. I shall not conform. I will not. You know? Yeah. And that's why I didn't stop going to high school.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, yeah, but yeah.
I feel there needs to be more options of like different ways to learn, because learning is important. It's important to have educated people.
It's the most important.
It's important to, yeah, learn structure, learn skills, become good people of the society.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. You know, all those things. But yeah, it's just the system is, you know, it's not necessarily
it's not making us good people.
Some people thrive in it. I thrived in school, to be honest. Like,
it was straight A,
like
near valedictorian.
So easy for me. It totally made sense for me. But then yeah. I had the issue where then I left school and thought, I'm going to be so successful and everything's going to be so easy, just like school was. But then in life, there was nobody to give me an assignment so I can ace it and then, like, good job for me. You know, there was no, like, the structure of the way that school taught me how to expect success or what was going to give me success was not the way that life works. Mm. So here I am with all my 4.0s and degrees and whatever. I'm like, okay, but no one cares. Like, it doesn't matter. And it was really hard for me to figure out that I had to create my own way in life and figure it out. And there was nobody who was going to give me a textbook of life to study how to do it. And so, yeah, I think either way, whether you're the kid that doesn't fit into the school system and doesn't learn that way, and so you're struggling and being told you're stupid because you don't, you know, you don't fit into that way, or even socially, the social dynamic of school is like so intense.
Whack. It's so crazy.
So I feel like no matter what, you know, it's like you're kind of, it's not really effective for any of those types.
I got so depressed in school. Yeah. And like, I don't have a depressive nature. Like, I'm such a happy person. Mm-hmm. And that's a majority. Teenagers are just like sad. Yeah. Like,
such
and that's
anxiety
so weird.
Levels
we have such
sadness.
A weird anxiety situation. Depression, drug use, addiction. We're like 14, 15. That's like not cool. Like, it's really unhealthy. And the fact that like even anxiety is like, what even is that? Like, when on like a spiritual level, it's like, it's so difficult for me to like grasp the fact that so many people have it. Like, that's so sad. Mm-hmm. You know, and like the fact that it's why, because of school or because of like the social thing. And it's like, so when is it going to change, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, anxiety comes from worry.
Yeah.
And worry comes from fear.
Fear.
Fear comes from attachment. Mm-hmm. Today's episode is called Attachment.
And
it's the lesson of the day.
How it's killing us.
Yeah. I mean, I struggle with anxiety a lot. And you know, doctors have told me, oh, it's like genetic or, you know, all these things. And it's, to me, like genetic, a lot of that is just patterns of what you've been taught, you know, because you learn after what you're around and what you've seen. And yes, there is like a physiological aspect of some genetic things. But as far as anxiety goes, it's like we're moving so much faster in life. Everything's faster, everything's higher expectations and all this pressure and doing.
Yeah.
You know, people always say let's not be human doings, let's be human beings.
Oh my
god. Like the hippies say that.
No, but I love that. I'm gonna start saying that.
Yeah, it's
human
true
doings,
though. Like
human beings.
We do so much, but we just have to be sometimes, and we're not taught, we're not given tools of how to, you know, ground and slow down and check in with our bodies and breathe correctly and all.
Can you imagine if they had like a class about that in school?
I mean, I'm sure some schools in LA have that.
Oh, that's true. That's facts. No,
definitely.
Totally.
A lot of places, you know, you don't have access to those kind of things and to help you. And that's why we have all of these issues. And I still deal with that. I mean, I have to, if I don't meditate every day,
I'm not myself.
I start to go crazy. I'm like, some people don't meditate. Like, how are you surviving?
Oh God.
I mean,
it must be hard.
It's a lot.
Must be really intense.
Yes, PSA for meditation.
Yeah. I have to apologize for people I spoke to before I meditated. Because I'm like, I don't know what got into me. Like, now I'm myself. Let's have a conversation.
Yeah. It's like constantly checking in with that space. Yeah. So what advice would you give to a teenager who doesn't feel like they fit in at school? They feel overwhelmed. They feel stressed. They just don't know what to do and how to cope.
Mm.
What would you tell them?
I would first say check the other video we did with the yeah. Play-Doh, because I went more in depth on some steps and advice for that. I think overall, it's like, oh my God, it's really intense. I didn't go to the last 3 years of high school, but like, stick with your truth, be confident, don't dim your light to fit in is like my favorite thing to say. Find what does make you happy, who makes you happy, what makes you happy, where makes you happy. Have your like space, if that's inside or outside or both. And I think life, the whole life thing, let's say it again, is like unattachment and just like love for your circumstance. So like, know that everything is going to change and everything is changing, and your entire reality is your perspective. So like, we don't have control over anything except for how we see the world and ourselves and our mind. So if you're coming from a negative place and think everything sucks and it's just so bad, like, it's, you are the one thinking that. Nobody else is putting that into your, no one else is making you think that. It's not possible. So if you can, you know, work and find your tools to like transmute that thought process and that perspective, it'll all be okay. You know, it truly is like a positive mindset.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, so I think that's like the basis of what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's like, even now, like, it's helped me a lot when I've been getting into kind of depressive funks to just remember that what I'm experiencing is a feeling. Yeah. And a feeling is just there, and I don't have to identify with it or embody it. I can just say, okay, I'm feeling this, and not resist it or suppress it, which I did that for a long time, but feel it. And just like you would feel the wind on your face or water. If you're like getting in the ocean, you just feel it. And you're like, oh, this is cold water today. It's a little uncomfortable, but that's okay. It will pass, you know? And just know that this feeling is not forever. It's a thing that's happening.
It's
gonna go away. It's okay.
Yeah.
And disarm it a little bit, because it doesn't have to be a big, scary feeling, you know? It could just be like, oh, here's that sad feeling. Welcome to the day, sad feeling.
How are you doing? What's up? Where you come from?
Should we drink some mate and move on with our lives?
Let's yoga this out, bro. I totally, yes. And I think the more you do that, the more you come to, like, you almost like it. Not like you should like being sad, but you're like, oh, that's sick. Like, I'm feeling stuff.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm a human. I get to feel things and like experience life. And then, and you know, it's like yesterday we were at Kirtan and I just started crying. I started literally melting down, and I was like, yes, it felt so good to feel that and to like understand that and to just get it. Cause I had that outlet. Thank God I had that outlet to like get that out of my soul, you know? But it made me happy to feel that burst of sadness. And
to release it, you know, to let it get out of you. I read that tears, if you suppress your crying, have you ever like suppressed crying and gotten a headache or just felt sick?
Yes.
It's because your tears have toxins in them, but not all tears, only the sad tears or the stress tears.
Oh my God.
They have like cortisol and all of this stuff in them. And so your body's trying to like get those out. And so crying is so, it feels so nice and therapeutic because you're literally
getting out toxins,
detoxing and
that's
releasing
crazy.
Cortisol. So if you hold it in, like one tear, apparently, if you fed a tear to a mouse or something, I'm not going to mess this up because I can't remember the exact study.
Just take it with a grain of salt, people.
But yes, it was something like human tears are like toxic to mice. Basically, it's crazy.
Wow.
So that's a nice little half act that
just like kill people through tears, but literally.
Yes. So
wow.
Cool. Well, we should wrap this up.
Okay.
We've been talking for a while, but one last question, to send everybody off with: if I told you the whole world was listening to you right now, and you could tell them one thing, what would you tell them?
Everything in this world is an illusion except for love. So.
Wow. I like that.
Yeah. It needs nothing else. Be love. See love. Feel love. Talk love. You know. Live it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this today.
I had so much fun. Thank you.
It was so fun. For those of you listening, if you did not see the Jade's doing some yoga stretches. If you did not see the Play-Doh explanations video on YouTube, make sure that you check that out. And yeah, thank you for joining us today in this conversation.
Thank you.
And for everybody at home, remember that you are loved and you are safe and you have everything you need within you. Have a beautiful day. Goodbye.
Thank you. Shout out Trevor Hall. You should start playing I Have Everything I Need. Everything I need. I have everything I need.
Thank you guys so much for listening. This podcast is brand new, so if you have any suggestions for people you want to hear me interview or concepts that you want to hear me talk about, let me know on social media. I'm really excited about this podcast, and I would love to know where you would like to see it go. But while I build it up, if you're hungry for more Metamoon, you can check out my YouTube channel for poetry and inspirational videos, and have a beautiful day. Remember that you are safe, you are loved, and you have everything you need within you.